Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Hello, church. How's everybody doing? Are you all good?
Yes.
Are you all good? Seriously, are you sure you're fine?
Yes.
Awesome stuff. You can high five somebody, but before we do that, we're going to pray quickly. We're going to high five Jesus first. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Okay. People are like, yo, can you say that on platform? No, I think I can. All right, let's pray quickly. Father God, we thank you for this church. We thank God that we have an expression of our worship today together as a community. Thank you, Father, that we don't have this just at home, but we have a church that we can be together in, Lord Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we don't have to just worship at home alone and hear your word at home alone. We can be together as the church. Giving together, advancing your kingdom forward together, seeing progress, seeing life change, and hearing beautiful voices next to us worship, Father God. Well, what a great gift this place is. What a great gift your church is. And thank you, Lord Father God, that we get to be a part of this in your precious name. So, Father God, we pray. We are here to hear from you today. Speak to us, move in us, and may we walk out of here glorifying your name all the more. But may we also walk out of here having a deeper and closer and more intimate friendship with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Anybody said?
Amen.
Amen. You can high five somebody, tell him you look great. And if you are single now and you high five the pretty girl or a pretty guy, it's a pleasure. All right. I do take royalty charges for your relationships that develop from these things, just you know. And so you can just, I'll give you my banking details a little bit later. And they're not on the screen. Anyway, what a great story from Srini, right? What an amazing man. You know, I've known him a long while, and I've seen him through this whole journey, and he's kept serving, kept staying plugged in, kept having a faith. And I don't know about you, but that would be difficult for me to do. But yet he stayed plugged in. And I think the reason why is because of life groups, right? You mentioned in his story, his life group kept him strong, kept reminding him that what he's doing is bigger than just himself, and that God is with him and for him. So I'd encourage you, get plugged into a life group. It starts on the 16th of October, and if you haven't done so yet, just go onto our app, sign up. It might just be the best thing you can do for you and your family, all right? Get plugged into a life group. It's not a solo thing, it's a family thing, all right? And speaking of family, as Pastor Byron said, we're in our Family Matters series, and it's my great privilege to share with us today. I do not take it lightly. I just want to thank Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace for that privilege. But I encourage you, for all the messages that has been shared over the last few weeks, they're all on YouTube. Go there and listen to them. They are practical, life-giving on how we can grow and build our families. And it might just save your family in the future. So do not miss out on a message, because you might have felt like, oh, that wasn't for me in the season. Can I tell you, there are seasons and things are coming. Make sure you are equipped so that you and your family can thrive in Jesus' name. Everyone good at that? Awesome. So with that, I was going to give us a backdrop and a bit of a clarity here and just a platform that we're going to work from together today. And the first thing I want to share is that I know that I'm a young man, 31 years old. I know I look a little bit older or younger, depending on how you feel. It's been a tough life. Okay, it's been a hard life. I know I'm married, and I know I have no kids. Okay, I know that stuff. Thank you that I know that stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So I understand today that my expression of family and my experience of family is probably very limited to some of you that are represented here in the room today. I also understand that when I'm speaking today, I'm speaking to a wide variety of families, different shapes, different sizes, dealing with a wide variety of things, right? And things that I may not fully understand be able to fully speak into properly because of my limited understanding of what you're going through. So I come to you there as humble as I can, not preaching at you, right? Not saying that I know everything, not saying that I got everything together, but just coming to you as a broken man, to one another broken man and broken woman, trying to find light together in this world, right? Relying on God's word, standing on God's word. And that we know that as we read God's word today, as we step into God's word today, that together we can find some life for our families now, for our families in the future, and for our grand families to come, right? I'm talking not grandkids, I'm talking about a grand family. Come on. And all the grandparents said, amen. So, amen. With that, I think it's important because we're such a wide variety of things and there's so many things going on and family is so different. I think it's important for us all today to find some common ground, right? Because if we find common ground, we can stand together on God's word through looking through the same lens in the same way. And as we do that, we can find life together. And I think we can find common ground in one way today, and that is this, that we all, whether you're on your ace, whether you have a big family, whether you're just two of you, whether you're on your own, I think we all can agree that we all want our families to be a life-giving, vibrant space where everyone finds encouragement, nourishment, freedom, and hope, right? I think we all can agree on that. Whether I'm together with a lot of people, whether I'm on my own, we can all say together that we all want this one thing for our family, for it to be a life-giving, thriving space. You know, because in John 10:10 it says that in this world you'll have trouble, right? In this world you'll have trouble. I will have trouble. You'll have trouble. Your spouse will have trouble. Your kids will have trouble. Your grandkids will have trouble. Your siblings will have trouble. So I will do whatever I can. Whatever I can do, I'll make sure my family is a space where my family can get equipped, nourished, strengthened, so that when that troubles come, they can stand strong, right? And I don't want my family to be that source of trouble, right? That's a common ground today, because I want my family to thrive. And in order for that to happen, it needs to be a nourishing family, right? A life-giving family. So whether you're a large family or on your ace, let's find common ground together today that we want to find a space where we can learn that our families can be a life-giving, thriving space. And I'm speaking on that today, and we're going to unpack that today. And the title for my message, if you're taking notes, is Creating a Family That Nourishes. Creating a family that nourishes. Pastor Byron says you always get to heaven quicker when you take notes. No, I don't know how I feel about that. Does it mean I die first? In which case, I do not want to take notes. So kind of say you get a bigger mansion in heaven if you take notes. Go on. Everybody say, okay, no, I'm joking. Okay, you're distracting me. Okay, but so although it seems far and difficult, although it seems like a big task that my family can be a life-giving space, have you seen my family? Have you seen my siblings? Have you seen my wife? Joking, all right? The truth and the good news today is this, church, that we can create a family that nourishes. My family and your family can be a space where people find substance, where people find encouragement, where people find strength, that every step into a house thinks, wow, Jesus is in this place and I want what they have. We can create a family that nourishes. And the burden I have for us today, the thing I want us to feel and understand and know today is this, that families are nourished and flourish when we pour in our best. Because your family matters and my family matters. And what we add makes all the difference. Church, what we add makes all the difference. What you add to your family makes all the difference. So the principle is this. I can't control what my family brings to the family, right? I can't control my kids and what they do. I can't control my wife and what she does. But I can control what I bring to my family. And you best believe that I'm going to bring what I can, the best that I can. Because what I add matters. What I add makes all the difference. And as we start to bring our best to our families, we'll start to create a family that nourishes. Now, I find it very weird, and I just want to talk about this a little bit, but every family has flavors, right? Every family has a bit of a flavor or aura or vibe or feeling to them. You know what I'm talking about? You get the very, very quiet family. You know, the very quiet family. They never go out. They're always at home. A Liberian is very loud in their house. Okay? You get the family that cracks jokes all the time. Streetie, on the other hand, will crack jokes at a funeral. And I'm like, how dare you? But just who he is, you know? You get the family at parties all the time. You have homework. Don't worry. We're going to party. We'll figure out on Sunday night before school. We'll quickly put the project together. We'll get some toothpicks and some... Don't look to your left or your right now, right? We get some families that are incredibly serious. Like iron your socks kind of serious. Anyone here iron their socks? Can I just see quickly? I have never ironed a sock in my life. Every flavor has an aura, vibe, or feeling to it, right? That flavor can be destructive or life-giving. That flavor can be encouraging or discouraging. That flavor can be life-giving or sap the very life out of you. That flavor can be by design. We intend it to be like that. Or it could be by accident. We let the world happen to us and happen to our families. Don't you find it weird that we prepare to go to work? We get our clothes ready. We find our minds ready. We get our mindset ready. You put on our best smile. You shrug off the disappointment of last night and whatever happened that your team lost or whatever. And you come to work bringing your A game. We prepare to go to weddings. You put on a smile. I don't like this couple, but I'll smile. I'll be in the photos, right? You even prepared to go on holiday. You get your bikini body ready. You know, you're pumping the iron. You're doing a spray tan. Some of you don't even have spray tans. You put Oros on. You need to do what you can. Okay? But you know what? We don't prepare to go home. How much of us prepare to go home? I don't know about you, how often I find myself going home in the state that I find myself in. I don't think about who I am, and I don't think about bringing my best to my family necessarily. I don't think about bringing my best to the situations I find myself in. Whatever happened in my day, I bring home with me. See, Bill Johnson, the senior pastor of Bethel Church, realized this was a problem in his life. And he decided that he needs to understand that his family is more important than his job. His family is more important than everything else around him. So he decided that he's going to say something to himself every day when he climbs into his car and drives back home. So he says every day, after work, you'd say something like this. He says, now my job starts. Not my job's finished, no, now my job starts. I need to make sure that my family prospers spiritually. Success is when those closest to me love and respect me the most. What a thought, hey? Success, what a different way to view success. That success is when those who love me, those who are closest to me, love and respect me the most. So we can either decide the vibe, the flavor of our family, or we can let the world decide what the vibe or our family is. Can I say right now, if we don't decide, we will never create a family that nourishes. So I ask you these questions to help you evaluate your family for a second. What is the flavor of your family? Think about it. What is the flavor of your family? What is the taste that you're left with when you go home? Can I ask you another question? What is your contribution to that flavor? What is your contribution to that flavor? What we bring, church, matters. What we bring to our family matters. Because your family matters and my family matters. What we bring matters. Families are nourished and flourish when we pour in our best. And today the principle is this: I can bring what I can bring. And if I make sure I bring nourishment and encouragement and life to my family, I can start to create a family that matters. So if you can be with me for a moment, imagine your family is a smoothie. All right? A smoothie. You know, this is live. There we go. This is live. I love playing with this thing. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. All right? Now imagine, it was like, why are you laughing like that? Okay. Anyway, my our families are like a smoothie and a flavor. And what we want to do is we want to create a smoothie that is nourishing and life-giving. Every morning when I get out to work, get out into the holidays, get wherever it goes, get my kids go to school, I want them to feel nourished and empowered and ready to take on the world, right? So let's make a smoothie real quick, because we're going to make a flavor and aura to our family. So right here, the first and base thing that we add is our yogurt, right? Everyone who makes a smoothie knows this is the best part, okay? So, this yogurt is stuck. There we go. Okay, cool. Yogurt, open. Okay, so this can represent dad. Okay, let's represent dad. Right now, dad controls the consistency and the stability of the family. So put dad into the blender there. That sounds terrible. All right, cool. And then next up, we have mom. Mom is the fruit in the family, right? She brings the flavor. She brings the color. She brings the joy. I hear non-moms going, yes. All right, so there we go. There's mom in the blender, okay? And then the teenager in your family can be represented by the cinnamon. Is this thing open? Yeah, the cinnamon, all right. Why? Because cinnamon is a strong flavor. They add a lot to value to your family, but you only can take them in small doses, right? That's why you bring them to youth. So add a teenager in there. All right, some cinnamon. What a jewel. And then we have obviously our toddlers, right? They are like sweet honey. Oh, they're so sweet. When you bring in that Picasso painting that they draw with crayons, and it looks like they drew it with crayons on a paper made out of crayons, falling down a staircase made of crayons, but they're so sweet, right? There you go. So there's our toddler over there. Okay, cool. Just get the honey in there. Beautiful. Our sweet toddler. And then last but not least, we obviously got to talk about our siblings, right? Our siblings, everyone goes, yo. So our siblings are those random ingredients that you just add into a smoothie. Some days you want them, some days you don't. There we go. Everybody said? Amen. All right, amen. So now we have here a beautiful, beautiful, we need some milk actually in here. We need some milk. Oh, it's fine. It's blending. Okay, well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there now. Sorry, I should have thought this through. I didn't think this through. Okay. But now, wait, right? This is a flavor of our family, right? Nourishing and life-giving. Full of nutrients, tastes good. It's amazing. But you know and I know that these are not the only flavors that go into our family. Right? So, dad, for instance, has a fight at work. Maybe gets retrenched. Something goes on. And instead of preparing to go home, he comes home in whatever state he finds himself in. Instead of just adding yogurt to the smoothie, he adds some sour milk. Mom feels unappreciated. She's saying, like, if I have to pick up one more sock, I'll put the whole family in this blender. So what does mom do? She stops trying. Instead of adding fruit, she just adds some peels in there. Teenager, you know? Teenager, overwhelmed at school. Pressure, bad coping mechanisms. Sees fighting at home, decides to add little to no value at the house. And they leave one more sock lying around. And your toddler is screaming bloody murder, driving everyone mad. You are crazy. You're losing your mind. If your kid shouts one more time, so everyone's angry at the house because toddler won't stop shouting, so he adds some hot sauce in there. Your siblings, thank you so much. Come on, give a hand here. This is going to be so disgusting. It's great. Just add some milk. There's all the other stuff that happens in the family. All right. And then last but not least, your siblings. The middle child is middle childing again. If you're the middle child, just look straight ahead. Everyone's looking at you right now. And then you get so frustrated, you don't want to talk to them anymore. They leave a bit of a bitter taste in your mouth. Some salt. And here we are, according to statistics, on addiction, broken families, divorce, here we are, the standard flavor of the average family today. Here we are, beautiful drink. It smells, let's get the sock in there. The sock's an important part of the flavor. Here we are, the family flavor. You know what's interesting about this family flavor? It's disgusting, right? It's very disgusting. Can I tell you something? Whether you want to or not, whether you're willing to or not, we all come home and we drink from this cup together. You all come home. Whether you feel like you want or not, when you come home, you taste this flavor in your mouth. You sit with this. And the problem is, because this drink is so horrible and you all have to drink from it, it makes us even more angry, even more bitter. So we keep adding more of the ingredients, more of the disgusting stuff in here. And before we know, this drink becomes so unbearable and so terrible that none of us even want to drink from this cup together anymore. I'll ask you again, what is the flavor of your family? What is your contribution to that flavor? What is the flavor of your family? What is the taste of your family? What is your contribution to that? You see, the enemy wants this thing to be so terrible, so disgusting, so unbearable, that you feel like the only way to live with each other is to not be with each other at all. He wants to drive a wedge between us that we don't even want to, we live past each other. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to speak to you. In fact, I want a different house than you because this thing has become so unbearable, so toxic. And before we know it, there's a split in our family. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have tasted the flavor of divorce. Some of us have tasted the flavor of increased anger and fighting in the house. Can I say that this is not God's plan for us? God wants us to create a family that nourishes, a family that is life-giving and life-changing, a family that can encourage us and inspire us. The good news today, church, is this, that you can't change your past, you can't change what happened in your past marriages, maybe if there are anything like that, you can't change those things. But what we can change today is decide to create a family that nourishes, that no matter what's going on, I will bring my best. I can't control what my kids do. I can't control what my wife does. I can't control what my brothers do. But I can control what I bring to my family. And in this world, they will have trouble. So I will make sure that I bring everything that I can to nourish and flourish my family. So that when they go out into this world, they will have trouble, but they'll have strength to face that trouble. We can create a family that nourishes, church. As the scripture gives us instruction and guidance on how we can nourish our families in a life-giving way. And it's funny because this is not intentional, but the scripture that Trini read is the scripture that we're reading today. All right? And it's found in Ephesians 4. Now, I want you to read with me today, but think of the lens. Look through it with the lens of creating a family that nourishes what you can bring to your family in such a way it nourishes. Let's read it together. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6. Therefore, Paul writes, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. How beautiful is that for family? Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Let's drop down to verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from God, from the life that God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. How terrible it is when someone in our families hardens their hearts, right? They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But this isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us all tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And do not sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work and then give generously to others in need. Give generously to your family. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. I love this. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. What a beautiful way to live as a family, right? Yeah. I know it's written for the body of Christ, but it's written for the body of our family as well. What a beautiful way to live. Paul is saying that you can create a family that nourishes, but it starts with you, what you bring. Can you bring these things to your family? And see that as you do that, you will shine the light of Jesus into your family. Church, the principle is that we can create families that nourishes, but it starts with what we bring to our families. Because our families matter. What I bring and what you bring really, really matters. Our families flourish and thrive when we pour in our best. Can we decide today to bring our best to our families? Our job starts now. When I wake up in the morning, my job starts now. When I come back from work, my job starts now. When I go to holiday, my job starts now. When I leave from church today, my job starts now. My family is the most important thing in my life. It can create a space that nourishes me and flourishes me, and everyone in my family finds the same nourishment, or it can become a life-sapping space. We get to decide that today. And I really hope with all my heart that you catch a new passion for your family, a new excitement for what your family can be. You can see that your family doesn't have to be this destructive thing, this life-saving thing. It can be a life-giving thing. It can be a light to the world. It can be a light to your friends. It can be a thing that builds your relationship with Jesus in amazing ways. It can be a thing that gives you purpose. You can see your kids step into callings and into ministries because you have created a family that nourishes. Come on, church, I hope you get a little bit excited about your family because it doesn't have to be this way. There's so much more for you and for me. We can create a family that nourishes. So we're going to look practically at a few things that Paul writes about today. And we're going to unpack them. But there's so much in the scriptures. I'm only going to unpack three because of time. But I encourage you, go home, read Ephesians 4 with the lens of how can I create a family that nourishes. Do your own homework because there's so much in this passage. But today we're going to unpack a few things that we can do so that we can create a family that nourishes. Are you with me? Are you ready for them, church? Are you ready? The first thing is to add a generous dose of gentleness and humility. Add a generous dose of gentleness and humility. Paul writes, he says, be humble and gentle. Make allowance for other people's faults, right? It's very hard for me to make allowance for other people's faults when I think I'm perfect. When I think I got it all together, I'm going to measure you like you got everything all together. Let's be real. Please don't be that family member who thinks you're perfect. And if you're sitting next to that family member right now, just look ahead. Don't look to them. God is speaking. Let God speak. Don't need you speak. But don't be that person who thinks you're spotless and you bring all the best things to your family. The truth is we are all called by Jesus to create a family that nourishes, but we are all called from broken spaces. We're all called from dark spaces. Be gentle, be humble, be generous with your gentleness and humility. A practical way to do this, to add a generous dose of gentleness and humility, approach each conversation, approach each argument, approach each thing that you can do with this mindset. What can I do better? What can I do better next time? When you walk into a fight, don't go, hey, you did this wrong. No, I did this wrong, and I will do this better next time. That's a generous dose of gentleness and humility. Because what happens is when you say, what can I do better, it drops your ammunition. It drops your ammunition to try and be right and try and win the fight. It disarms you. It forces you to show grace. You know the beautiful thing about this is, as you are trying to show grace and see how much grace your family needs because they are rough, you know, as you start showing this grace to people and you see how hard it is for you, you start to see, wait, who gives me grace? And if Jesus does this, or I have to do this for my family, imagine what Jesus does for me every time. And as you show grace, Jesus starts to do something in your heart. All the more you start to feel these tender-hearted touch of grace on your life. You start to see him in a whole new light. Because you start to see what grace looks like for other people, and you start to experience what Jesus' grace looks like for you. Approach it like this. What can I do better next time? Be humble. Be gentle. Rick Warren writes, and he says this, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. In any conflict, the key to resolution is not to focus on your rights, but on your responsibility to serve and love others. I'm not here to win a fight, I'm here to serve and love. I'm not here to tell you did a bad job, I'm here to serve and love. Let's be people who add a generous dose of gentleness and humility. The second thing we do is sweeten our relationships with abundant forgiveness. Sweeten your relationship with abundant forgiveness. Abundant forgiveness. You must get that honey out there, right? Sweeten your relationship with abundant forgiveness. With abundant forgiveness. Sweeten it with abundant forgiveness. Be quick to forgive. Paul says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Now, ladies, this is not a timeline. I got all day. He's going to know. Before the sun goes down, yes, but it's 8 o'clock in the morning, so he's going to know. No, be quick to forgive. Also, ladies and some guys, silent treatment does not fix anything. Stop it. It is a pressure cooker for anger. It's a pressure cooker for your anger. It's a pressure cooker for the person receiving the silent treatment's anger. All right? Be quick to forgive. Forgive in your heart. And don't walk up to a person and say, I forgive you. That is a passive-aggressive way of saying you're wrong. Right? Don't do that. Abundant forgiveness, forgive sincerely. Replace the words I forgive you with this. Okay, I can give you some amazing words to replace it with. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know you're saying, I forgive you, but you go, I'm sorry. And you pull your face. I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry. I'm sorry. See, the words I'm sorry makes you wave a white flag. And you say, listen, I'm not here to fight. I'm here to build a family that nourishes. And please, you receiving the I'm sorry, don't go like, oh, he's got no weapons. Bah! Let's take him out. Like, don't fire back. No, what you do as well, you reply. You, instead of saying thank you, you go, I'm sorry. So simple, so effective. Lay the weapons down. Because the truth is, if I win the fight, my family loses. If he or she wins the fight, my family loses. No, 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 we all have to win. Say, I'm sorry. Max Lucado says, forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Forgive. Be abundant in forgiveness. And as you do that, we create a family that nourishes. Imagine your kids know they can mess up and come to you with everything. What a life-giving space that would be for them. And lastly, church, are you being helped? Are you getting a new vision for your family? Are you a little bit excited about what you can do when you go home today and to build a family that nourishes? The last thing we can do, last thing I want to speak about is season every moment with encouragement. Season every moment with encouragement. Season every moment with encouragement. We are in an encouragement epidemic, church. We are in an encouragement problem in the world. You know social media where we live most of our lives, where all of us spend hours and hours on? Some surveys were done on social media that I found very, very interesting. In 2017, a survey was done to compare all the positive comments versus all the negative comments. Did you know that in 2017, it was found that during the study, that 67% of comments on popular sites were classified as negative or critical, while only 33% were identified as positive or encouraging. 2021, fast forward, analysis gets done. They ask people, they interview people on famous social media platforms. What is your experience of social media? Did you find encouraging? Do you find it destructive? 79% of all people said, I found it critical and insanely negative for my life. And I think you can agree to that. Only 21% they had an overall generous and positive experience. And I'd like to wager 21% is probably all the celebrities who can't even read all the comments that they see. Right? Encouragement is hard to come by in the world, church. I wonder, if my family doesn't get encouragement from me, I wonder where they'll get it from. I wonder if they'll get it. Did they get it at work? Did they get it at school? I wonder where they'll get encouragement from, if not from my family. Church, let's season every moment with encouragement. A practical way we can do today to do this is something that I call the High Five for Five Challenge. The High Five for Five Challenge. Whoever thought of that is a brilliant young man, all right? I'm just joking. The High Five for Five Challenge. You know what a high five is? Good question, glad you asked it. The high five is this, like, I'm gonna high five you, give you a physical response to say that you did something great. You did something amazing. I'm so proud of you. Oh, you did that thing, that is so cool. High five. It's encouragement, right? So High Five for Five Challenge is this, that I'm gonna choose for 5 days this week to encourage one member in my family. For 5 days this week. And every day I'm gonna say something, give him a verbal high five, a text high five, an actual high five, whatever it may be, I'm gonna give them a high five. Because encouragement, I wanna season every moment with encouragement. Choose one person and encourage them sincerely. Don't go, oh, you look great today. No, 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 you look great today. Those are amazing shoes. Only you can pull off those shoes. You do that so well. I saw someone else in that shoes. They didn't come close to you in those shoes. That is sincere. That is. I really went out of my way to show you that you look amazing today. Encouragement, church. Season every moment with encouragement. Really point out something. Church, the good news is today, we can create a family that nourishes. Because your family matters and my family matters, what we add makes all the difference. Our families are nourished and flourish when we pour in our best. Let's bring our best. As you create a family that nourishes, as you bring my best, I can start to see that my family members get help and they find nourishment and they start to feel people to become nourishing people as well into our family. And before we know it, our family changes forever and becomes a life-giving, thriving space. Charles Spurgeon says this, a happy family is but an earlier heaven. And you know, if you have a happy family, you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen a happy family, you know what I'm talking about. It's an earlier heaven. Church, let's commit today. As we talk about family matters, let's commit today to create a family that nourishes. Let's create a family that nourishes. You see, this will take a lot of work. This will take a lot of effort. This will take a lot of heart things that needs to happen because I need to surrender and die to myself in this space. So you know and I know that it's not going to come easy. You know and I know we need the power of Jesus in our hearts to be able to do this. We need a great heart surgeon of Jesus to work in our hearts, to deal with our insecurities, to deal with our struggles of forgiving so that we can create the family that nourishes, right? We're going to need Jesus to do that today. So before we go any further, before we just get all excited and to do this, we need to know that we need an intimate friendship with Jesus in our lives before we can even start to think about doing this. Because without him, I won't be able to deal with the things in my heart that causes me to not forgive people. So today I want to give you that privilege and that opportunity to accept the grand invitation of stepping into an intimate friendship with Jesus. And it's the best thing you can do for your life. And as you heard today, it can be the best thing that you do for your family today. So if maybe your family comes to church and you've only come to church because they drag you along, can I say today that you can have a life-giving, vibrant, nourishing family, but it starts with a relationship and a friendship with Jesus. Do not miss out on this opportunity today. So I want everyone to close their eyes and just bow their heads and just to give everyone a bit of a space of privacy here. But if you want to have a family that nourishes, if you want to create a life-giving family that will change the whole future of your life and the whole future of your kids' life, today I want to invite you into this space to say that you can only do this with the power, life, and love and friendship of Jesus. So in a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand. And that is just so I can identify you, to see who you are, to say, listen, I want to have a life-giving friendship with Jesus so I can have a life-giving family. I'll ask you to raise your hand. I don't embarrass you. I don't call you out. I just want to see who you are because it would be my great privilege to pray for you. So if that's you today, if you say, I want to have a life-giving family, I want to create a family that nourishes, I want to have a life-giving friendship with Jesus so that I can create a life-giving family. I'll ask you to raise your hand in 3, 2, 1, wherever you are, just raise your hand nice and I want to see you all. Thank you, I see the hand in the middle of you. Thank you, I see the hand over here. On the balcony, thank you, I see that hand over there. On the balcony on the left over here, I see the hand. Anyone else, do not miss out on the space. Thank you, I see the hand at the back over there. Thank you, I see the hand in the middle of you. You can put your hand down once you've raised it. Anyone else, do not miss out on the space. Thank you, I see your hand in the front over here. This is your moment. This is say, Jesus, I want to have an intimate friendship with you. I want to have a life-giving life. I want to have a life-giving family. One more time. If that's you, just raise your hand nice and nice so I can see where you are. One more person. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you. Those who put up your hands, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to try and give you language. You don't have to repeat after me or anything, but just listen to what I'm praying and try to pray your own prayer to Jesus right now. But this is an amazing decision that you've made. You have stepped into a friendship with him, and right now, from this day forward, you decide to live for him and to build a friendship with him. So Father God, I thank you for every single person who's lifted up their hand to give their lives to you today, Jesus. Father God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you you've called me to this place. I thank you, Father, that you've spoken to me today. And from this day on forward, Jesus, I choose to live my life for you. I want to step into an intimate friendship with you. I want to create a life that nourishes. I want to create a family that nourishes. So, Father, please forgive me of my sins that I have committed and that I will commit. And from this day onward, I choose to live for you. I choose to build a friendship with you. Thank you for this great invitation of stepping into a life with you. Thank you that I'll never be the same again. And thank you, you're going to start and continue a great work in me today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.